tried to take my mind, my body, and my soul. And if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know where I would be. So many times I wanted to give up and call it quits, but you were right there with me.
Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, the Christian ambassador of the Rastafari movement, servant of and to the Rastafari movement, kingdom of God, queendom of God that's in heaven here and now on this earth, kingdom and queendom of Islam, the way to peace through submission to the Most High, to existence and life, Yahweh, Yahuwah. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date, Sunday, August the 25th, 2013. We're working on the word debt. Elimination of every debt. No debt slavery. This word for debt, yad, 3027, Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Various special technical senses. So look at how the technology is used. To further debt, to further usury in society, to further destroy the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. The stranger, which means in the African Hebrew, the traveler, the sojourner who has lost all inheritance because of debt. So the African Hebrew Israelite nation said, eliminate debt every 7 years. You don't want to crush and destroy the people. The word debt continues to mean time and repetition. Look at how much time is spent on repayment of debt or payment of debt that is illegal. When the debt goes, we can take this principle now. When the debt goes beyond 7 years, it's illegal. If the debt has usury on it, interest on it, it's illegal. So all the time we spend paying off debt that is against God, against Goddess, against Yahweh, Yahuwah, against existence, existing, against living, against the principles of life. Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation said, eliminate debt. Then you have axle and trees under the word debt. An axle is a rod or a spindle passing through the center of a wheel or a group of wheels. An axle that is a central shaft for the rotating of wheel or gear, wheeled vehicles. All right, so this definition is having to do with the making of vehicles that have wheels made from trees, an axle, that mechanism that causes the turning of the wheels. So we're getting into the trappings that are used by the system to perpetuate debt. The person coming to you to collect debt drove here in a car. In those days, rode in a chariot, rode in some horse-driven vehicle that was made from trees. Maybe we have to go out and cut trees and make wheels to pay off debt. So we're looking at technical realities in the system. And that everything in the system is geared to incur debt. We have to examine our society. Stays, support for labor. The words, this is all a part of the definition for debt in the African Hebrew language. A stay, let me see now. A stay, stays are ropes or wires or rods on sailing vessels that run fore and aft along the center line from the masts to the hull, deck, bowsprit, or to other masts. This is so interesting. And it says a stay also may refer to contents and law and media and film and television. So that's modern day times. But look at the sailing vessels. Look at how everything is used to run debt on the people. Tenons in a tabernacle. Tenons is defined as a projecting piece of wood made for insertion into a mortise in another piece. And a mortise is defined as a hole or a recess cut into a part. So your various pieces of wood that go on top of another piece of wood that has a cutout so that you may insert wood on top of wood. So we're looking at all manner of the various pieces of society technically and otherwise used to incur debt. The next definition, a phallus. And a phallus is defined as a penis when erect, typically used with reference to male potency or dominance. So watch this now. I've been looking at this definition for a while, and it has taken me a while to understand this even more. So this is sacred science, African science, in which we examine the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine. Looking at the sacred masculine, looking at the ability of the male through the male organ called the penis or the phallus to exude or put forth a seed that we call sperm into a womb from the female, and then that female conceives because the sperm has hit the egg and now a child is growing and forming, and soon a child will come to birth. So look at this wicked system. Look at this system of debt and slavery, colonialism, exploitation. Look at how not just men, but we're looking at the sacred masculine now. All people, male and female, are now putting energy into the system of debt and slavery. Putting energy, putting time, putting work. That is a study of the science of the sacred masculine, and the sperm represents energy and work that goes into the womb of slavery, a system of slavery and debt slavery and colonialism and exploitation, and it saps our strength. In sports, they say, in sports like boxing and whatnot, they say, leave off sexual relations so that the man can retain his strength. Now, I don't know the fullness of the reality of that, but that is a common thought process in boxing. Leave off the sexual relations until after the fight. You want to retain your strength. Sexual relations over and over every night saps your strength. So we, as masses of the people, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, male and female, men and women, boys and girls, we are putting all of our energy into this wicked, no good, rotten system, and it is sapping us of our strength, robbing us of our strength. Hand, a hand. So our hands and wrists is another definition. So wrists and hands, our whole being given over to a system of consumerism that incurs debt and slavery, and debt slavery. The African Hebrew Israelite nation said, no, we do not want to go that route. We want to alleviate such condition. So eliminate the debt, eliminate all debt. That was the 7-year Sabbath. When you had seven of those, you come to 7 times 7 is 49, and you come to the year Jubilee. And in the year Jubilee, if you lost your land because of debt, your family gets your land back. Look at the Africans. Look at Asian sisters and brothers. Look at Middle Eastern sisters and brothers. Look at sisters and brothers in the Caribbean, the Isles of the Pacific. Look at the indigenous peoples of the earth, black, brown, red, yellow, and the poor working class of Europe, so-called white sisters and brothers, Caucasian sisters and brothers. We have all been robbed of our land, wealth, and resources. And when you look in the Congo, and when you look in Africa, and when you look in places that are so-called third world, you can see that literally, that the people have been robbed of their land. Look inside the United States of North America. Look at how many families have gone bankrupt because of maybe someone has fell ill. So now all of these exorbitant hospital bills. Now you can't pay your mortgage. You can't pay your other bills. Now the banks push you into the street. Loss of home, loss of land, loss of property. Look at how the banks, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, Wall Street, United States Treasury, Federal Reserve Bank, all under the power of the House of Rothschild, exorbitant debt through exorbitant priced mortgages and exorbitant interest rates going exorbitantly high, out of reach and affordability of families, push them into the streets. Take the land, take the wealth, take the resources. Well, every 50 years, the people who lost their land got their land back. And so, the word stranger in this case is sojourner. We read about that the last session. Is a traveler, an immigrant, one who has been dispossessed, disinherited, no longer has control over their land, wealth, and resources because of a no good, rotten system. Well, come on into Israel. We're expanding our borders, and we have land for you. You can get land now. Some of the earth has been returned to you. And so we move with that as a backdrop. We move to Nehemiah chapter 13, and we'll just read it and just talk about it, because we have the backdrop in detail so that we may understand. In those days, chapter 13, verse 15, book of Nehemiah, in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought unto Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Now they had just promised Nehemiah in chapter 10 that they would not buy and purchase on the Sabbath day, that they would not tolerate anyone coming in, whether a citizen or a foreigner. We would not tolerate anyone selling on the Sabbath day. Why, Israelites? Why, Nehemiah? Why do you not want the people to participate in money and trade and commerce on the Sabbath day? What is the point of this? He says, verse 16, there dwelt men of Tyre also therein. So now, some other folk want to start buying and selling on the Sabbath. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah in Jerusalem. Let me try to hit something of this in detail. The word Tyre is Sori, 6876. So interesting, sisters and brothers. This word means to distress. See, what Nehemiah wants to do is protect the people from stress, from that which would cause stress. Let's hit this word distress right quick and see exactly what it means. Anxiety, sorrow, and pain. The system of colonialism, slavery, exploitation, exorbitant consumerism. Buy and buy and purchase and don't care that the products we are purchasing comes to us through warfare and bloodshed and colonialism and death and hell and destruction. And we just love computers, love cell phones. I use my cell phone. I use my computer. I use my printer. I use all my electronic gadgets that I have. But I wish that it would not be so that they come to us through warfare and bloodshed and through distress and through anxiety and sorrow and pain. You see what we learn when we go into the definitions of the words, sisters and brothers? You don't get this in mosque. You don't get this in church. You don't get this in cathedral. You don't get this in synagogue and temple. Not many are going into details as to the definitions of these words. So there dwelt men of Tyre, men of distress, men who cause anxiety, men who cause pain and sorrow. These folk want to come in and buy and sell pain, buy and sell sorrow, buy and sell anxiety, buy and sell colonialism, slavery, exploitation, buy and sell, buy and sell, buy and sell, consumerism, consumerism, consumerism. That's what we're talking about, sisters and brothers. Also therein, which brought, so they brought with them, what did they bring, Brother Nehemiah? They brought fish. They brought all manner of ware. They brought and sold on the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath, once again, 7676, Sabbath. Day of Atonement, Sabbath year, Sabbath week. We talked about all of that. But the root to the word Sabbath is Shabbat, 7673, which means to cease, desist, and rest, to rest from labor. So you have the concept of resting from working all week long for the man, as we might say. But we're talking about resting and ceasing from labor that is because of debt and slavery. Definitions further, extermination and destroy. So we want to exterminate and destroy Tyre, which means anxiety, sorrow, and pain from colonialism, slavery, exploitation, debt, and debt slavery. We don't want that anymore. So these folk are coming with anxiety, sorrow, and pain to sell on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah, and the word Judah is Yehudah. 3063 means praised. Praised. We want to be the people that are worthy of praise by the Most High. We want to see the Most High look at us and say, I praise you for standing up against debt slavery, colonialism, slavery, and exploitation. And we want to be the people of praise and the people that will give praises to the principles and characteristics and attributes of existence and life for the whole of the human family, not just a few. That's Yahuwah. So they tried to sell to the people, the children of Judah. See, we want to be the children of praise. And in Jerusalem, 3389, Hebrew side, Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary, Yerushalayim means teaching of peace. We are the teachers of peace, and we are to teach a peace that is so strong, that is so complete, that it will affect and reform. See, we are reforming our minds, reforming ourselves. We want to reform civilization, reform society. We want to eliminate. See, the word peace in the Greek language has to do with national tranquility and personal peace and peace between people. So we're talking of, and also exemption from the havoc of war. The African Hebrew Israelite nation are they who translated the African Hebrew scriptures into the European Greek language so that the poor working class Greek and Roman European sisters and brothers may understand what we have been talking about for such a long time in the African Hebrew. So they translated this word peace into the Greek language to tell them, deal with national tranquility. Your nation is chaotic. Your nation is full of war and strife. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, full of colonialism, warfare, bloodshed, death, hell, destruction. So deal with national tranquility in your nation. Deal with your sister and brother, poor working class, who have become enemies because of the wicked ruling class and families who pit poor working class peoples against each other so that we may destroy each other, so that the wicked ruling class may maintain power. Deal with that and have national tranquility. And then exempt yourself and exempt the poor working class masses from all warfare and bloodshed. Suppose all of us would say to every government, say to every leader on the planet, to every military leader, to the CIA, to the FBI, to the FOP, to Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, suppose all of us as poor working class masses of the people would say, we are no longer going to kill each other for you, you wicked ruling class and ruling families. That's what we are talking about when it concerns Sabbath reform. Let's, for the remainder of this 30-minute portion, talk about some more teachings of Scripture coming from that which I have learned through Scripture, but from the work of Richard Horsley. Richard Horsley. I recommend all of his books. That beautiful Caucasian brother professor has helped me so much in my understanding of Scripture. So when I go back to Scripture, I say, man, thank you for Brother Richard Horsley. Some more teachings of Scripture. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23 through verse 36 and 37 talks about no interest. Can you imagine if these banks would cease charging interest? The outright principle, no interest. Look at how much we would save in power and resources and money and time. See, God say no interest. Goddess says no interest. Yahweh says the land, the earth The universe belongs to Yahweh, and no power, no entity has a right to take and misuse the people, misuse and abuse the land, and charge us interest for anything illegal, ungodly. Your brother is sold to you as a slave, shall be hired as a servant and not a slave. These are principles of scripture. So what we're doing, we're freeing the oppressed. If your brother is sold to you as a slave because of hard times, you don't enslave the person. You hire the person as a servant or a worker or a laborer and pay them a righteous living wage. Look at the sisters and brothers who are saying to the various corporations, pay us a living wage. John Lewis at the Washington, D.C. March on Washington 1963 said something to the effect of, why should it be that black women who labor as maids and servants in the homes of white people, who make the white people or the Caucasian who make $100,000 a year, and the poor little black maid makes nothing. See, that's not godly. But we're talking about the grand system that is causing slavery and debt slavery. We learned from Richard Horsley that the original church began to purchase the freedom of slaves based on this principle, because the church had the same charge: free up the oppressed. This is a Christian brother, he's a slave, you purchase his freedom and hire him on to the church, on to the corporation that we call the church. Hire him onto your organization, and her onto your organization, that they may work in a dignified manner and not be enslaved to the Roman Empire. So this principle of freeing your brother or sister from slavery survived in the early church, but then the church went off course because of Constantine and Rome. So buy the slaves of the heathen and the strangers and redeem them. Redeem your brother and your sister. Okay, so this is talking about the heathen and the stranger. That is not the same word for stranger that is used for the immigrant. This stranger is the stranger that is lifeless, the oppressor that has enslaved your brother. You purchase your brother and your sister and free them up from their slave master. This goes during the Jubilee as well, that principle, freeing up the slaves. Deuteronomy chapter 15, 1 through 4, we learn once again, after every 7 years, release all debt with your brother and not the foreigner. The foreigner is the oppressor, slave master, who is oppressing your neighbors and your sisters and your brothers, but you free the traveler, the immigrant, the sojourner. No poor among you. Land inheritance for all. These are the principles of scripture, sisters and brothers. Everybody has a right to some land, wealth, and resources. Lend to many nations, do not borrow. Rule over many nations, they do not rule over you. The African Hebrew Israelite nation were to look at all the oppressor nations and say, no, you don't rule over us. We are ruled by the Most High, and through us, the Most High is to have rulership over all of this earth, and we free up the oppressed. We free up the fatherless, the widows. We free up the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. Let's take this next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.